Humanity has battled with evil throughout the ages, fought tirelessly to protect itself from being consumed by the monstrous horrors that plague the land. But as darkness grows, the flame of hope grows dim. Who shall rekindle the fire? Who shall save us?
Oh, sausage is awesome.
Well, hopefully a bunch of douchebags with dice will do the trick. A bunch of nerds gathered around their screens, drinking and dungeoneering in hopes to get some gold and girls. Join them for a crazy adventure. These are the Tabletop Champions.
Hello, and welcome to the first episode of Season 2 of the Tabletop Champions podcast. I'm Sean, your Dungeon Master, and with me tonight we have Kyle.
Ahoy hoy.
Fuck you. Fuck all of you.
I'm going to be playing someone.
Okay, we'll get into it in a minute. We have Ben.
Hello.
We have Scott.
Ahoy hoy.
Okay. We have Matt.
Ahoy hoy.
We have Stephanie.
Fuck everyone.
So, Stephanie, welcome to the podcast.
This is what happens when we know what you're going to say.
You're gonna get fucked with by everybody. So, okay.
I'll just do it the first time.
Yeah. We don't need to roll a d20 to see what happened last week. Why don't we do a little quick thing with each of our characters so the listeners get familiar with them. So, Ben, who are you playing?
I am playing Scrag Ragnall, a half-orc.
Okay. We have Kyle. Who are you playing?
I am playing Utax. There is no last name. And I am a robot butler.
Technically Warforged, but yeah.
Sure.
Stephanie, who are you playing?
I am playing Denias Var. I am a tiefling bard.
Scott, who are you playing?
I am playing Anugilon, and I am a wild elf druid.
And last but not least, Matt, who are you playing?
I'm playing Chaldeus Argonaut, who is a human war mage, which was created by Marcus. It was created by the School of War Mages, created by Marcus.
Back in the day. So, basically the way that this season or this arc is working is that these players are 2,000 years in the future of what Irulan was. So, from the heroes waking up and, you know, living out their lives, from the moment the heroes woke up 2,000 years after that, the world has changed. A lot has stayed the same. A couple of big things that have changed is now goblins are accepted in society. Torin's baby made great strides.
You're welcome.
To assimilate goblins in normal society. Another big thing that occurred is dwarves have not been seen.
Proof that it's nature versus nurture.
Jesus. dwarves have not been seen in 1800 years. They've almost been lost to antiquity. They've become like the story of legends, or like what you tell children, like, don't go out at night or the children of Morden will get you. Another thing is the gods have not been heard or seen of in the last 1500 years. Some divine powers are starting to be lost by followers of certain faiths. One notably is all followers and devout priests of Corallon have lost all power. They have no divine power whatsoever. So the adventurers, or what you guys find yourself at, you find yourself on an island in the southern part of Irulan. You are at a tournament that is going on for a wedding right now. The wedding is between Cedric Dane and Eliana Strongbow. Their parents are, they're in the city called Caer Cain. The leader of Caer Cain is known as Francesco Dane, and the leader of Graminster, who is Eliana Strongbow's father, is known as Micah Strongbow. And there's been a tournament going on for days. So in the city of Caer Cain, it falls on several rivers. It would be held in the main city, but it can't because they had to erect a tourney ground. So it's on the edge of a forest. Why don't you guys give me a brief description of what you were doing before this tournament?
Okay, I can give my brief description. So, I mean, my brief description, I think, requires a little history on who I am and how I came to be a thing that exists. So I literally am, in fact, a robot butler. That isn't just a joke. I in fact, am the creation of an artificer wizard. And in his death, his soul got trapped inside of his robot butler. So I am mostly a servant, but deep down inside is the soul of a great wizard. And so my master has died, and I'm leaving the kind of lair/dungeon/cave that I've lived in my entire quote unquote life. And I started wandering. I think that's where I met Nigamnigalamnon.
Yeah, so after a decent time in solitude living in this forest in a little cave, you came out one day and came across Enungilion. Did I say that right?
It's Enungilion.
Enungilion. Enungilion.
Can I call you Annie?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not gonna fight you on that.
So why don't you describe yourself?
Oh, are we just doing this like it already happened in the past rather than role playing this out?
Yeah. So this is this has happened in the past over the past few days. So you guys have met over the past few days. Let's give a little description of how you guys know each other a little bit.
No, I mean, I literally just ran into him in the woods, and I am a, I'm going to say this again, a robot butler, and I am looking to serve a new master. So I ran into someone, and I just, you know, was looking to see if he needed help, and I am now in service. Because I don't really know what to do with myself if I'm not.
So, Enungilion, why are you here?
You should go to Matt first before you come to me on anything.
Okay, so we'll go to Matt first. Matt, why are you here? And who's your character?
My character is Chaldeus Argonaut. He is a war mage. And okay. We, both me and Enungilion, we're hunting down cultists because I'm hunting down my wayward apprentice who is in cahoots with the cultists, and we're short on funds. So we heard about this tournament, and I felt like my martial abilities and my magic abilities would be enough to help win some prize money.
Now, Enungilion is not necessarily comfortable in a city.
Right.
So Enungilion, I'm guessing, is staying in the forest?
Yes. We talked about it, and we figure it was best to separate, let him stay in the forest where he's more comfortable, whereas I would not only get funds, but maybe do a little investigating on cultists.
Yeah. So now, this isn't a city proper. This is a pavilion tent city that has been set up for a tournament for a wedding that's going on for Kaer Kaelin. But Enungilion still, nonetheless, I'm guessing, feels not right staying in a city. So Enungilion is staying in the forest. Enungilion, why don't you describe yourself and how you met Yutak?
Okay, well, again, I thought we were going to roleplay this out, but...
we can.
I think that we should.
We can. So, Enungilion, so you are, the tournament has been going on for 2 days, okay? You've come to see, Chaldeus, fight for the last 2 days, and he's been successful in all of his tilts. This is a melee, this isn't like a joust tournament, but as nightfall comes, I'm guessing you don't feel comfortable staying in the tent or the buildings that have been erected.
That's correct, so I'm camping out in the Withering Woods.
So, in the Withering Woods is, it's a ever-growing forest. It's ageless. This forest has been here forever. You feel completely at home here. Almost like there's an attachment to the Feywild here in this forest. Can you describe yourself?
Sure. Well, I'm a wild elf, and I'm wearing a Triceratops skull on my head, and it's big enough that my entire head fits inside of it, so you can't actually see any of my facial features. It's just a big, huge Triceratops skull, but it's covered in multicolored war paint. And I also have like war paint all over like my chest and body. And I think I said that I was wearing like some like fur, shoulder pads, like pauldrons, made out of fur. And I'm also wearing like a red, like robe, not a robe, but I mean, like a really long skirt that like goes down to my feet.
Okay.
I don't carry any weapons with me, and I look like really, really tribal and fit. And my skin is kind of a caramely brown color.
Okay. So you've been here at the tournament for the past 2 days. And Caldeus has done very well, to the point that the only melee that's occurring tomorrow is between him and a knight known as, not a knight, but a fighter known as Scrag. After 2 days of these festivities prior to a wedding, everybody's getting pretty rowdy. So your spot on the edge of the forest is pretty loud. I don't know whether you want to kind of sit there and listen to all this nonsense, or if you were going to move further into the forest.
No, I would move further into the forest.
Yeah, so you find your solitude somewhere near an outcropping of rocks where there's a nice little brook running, and there appears to be a cave across the river, but you don't sense any natural presence coming from it.
Oh, okay.
So you figure this would be a good spot to set up camp.
I would go and investigate that cave before I set up camp. Like,
okay.
Just to make sure I'm not in somebody else's territory.
Absolutely. Give me a perception check.
Sure. Hold on 1 second, because I just realized that it's incorrect on my sheet here. I got a 15.
You hear some movement from inside the cave, and it's not entirely natural. Like, it doesn't sound like normal footprints.
It doesn't sound like footprints?
Let's cut to, no, it doesn't sound like normal footprints.
What do footprints sound like?
Footprints.
Utax, like? What do your feet sound like?
What do the impression of your feet sound like, Kyle?
I mean, I guess if you put them on like a phonograph, it might make a noise.
It'd be like metal coming in contact with stone.
You mean
as opposed to like a pad?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you keep saying footprints.
Let's. Okay. Fine. There's some footfalls inside the cave that don't sound like the pads of an animal.
Oh, okay.
I'm a metal person, so I sound like a metal person.
Yeah. So Utax, you hear someone stirring at the entrance to your cave.
Okay. So I take a look in the mirror. I make sure I'm all correctly, you know, spiffed up, look good, feel good. And then I turn and I walk confidently out towards the entrance of the cave.
You have a mirror?
Of course I have a mirror. It comes out of like a, you know, I'm just going to assume it comes out of my hand. Or I'm just shiny enough, like I've been polishing my arm, that I just use that as a mirror.
Okay.
Kind of like, you know, look good, feel good.
And in Gilan, you hear these footfalls that don't sound like a natural being. Like the pads of a wildcat or like the hoofprints of a stag. You hear something different, and it's approaching you from below in the cave.
Okay, can I see it? I have I have dark vision out to 60 feet.
Yeah. What does Anne and Gilan see?
Well, I'm gonna hold for now because we're working on the art still. So I'm gonna we'll say it's not final, but think. Episode one, like battle droid, but better, because it's, you know, that movie kind of sucked.
Okay.
But, you know, similar to that, basically, I mean, I, you know, vaguely shaped like a humanoid is shaped, but very clearly not of any sort of natural creature.
So Utax, you see someone through your sensors at the opening to the cave. What do you do?
And that person, for the record, is waving and smiling.
Okay, that's what you see?
That's how I would be approaching.
Oh, you mean you're waving
until we're
at me.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then,
gotcha.
Like, we would maybe be until we're, like, I don't know, 20 or 30 feet away, and then I would start talking.
Wait, I have a question. Battle droids from Star mm-hmm. Wars don't have mouths, so how are you smiling at me?
This is why Listen, this is a whole thing I didn't want to get into.
Look, I don't want to talk about that actually.
Great start to season two, guys.
I don't want to talk about droid stuff, but mostly I really like the model of the battle droid, but I always didn't like the weird like duckbill face, so like just scrap that and assume a better face. Like an actual face. like a face that looks like a face.
So like the part where C-3PO gets his head put on the battle droid.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
That. Except it's not backwards.
Okay. So, do you say anything?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes, it'd be, a good day, sir!
Anna Gilon, you hear that from the bottom of the cave, and you see this weird mechanical being approaching you.
Waving at me.
Well met!
Megovan.
What?
Do you speak Elvish?
This is a question for Sean.
How are you a protocol droid?
Because I would sure love to say that I speak 8 million different dialects. But I don't think you're going to let me.
Oh, that's
Can I speak every language in the book?
No, you can't speak every language in the book. You speak every good language.
Can I understand every language in the book?
Yes, you can. So you speak Elvish. You don't speak Dwarvish. You speak Elvish, Common, Gnomish, Orcish, Halfling. What am I missing?
Draconic.
You don't speak Drow.
You mean Undercommon.
Would I speak Draconic?
Undercommon. You do not, you speak Draconic. So we'll say that those are the languages that you speak.
Okay. So then, yes, I would understand if you spoke to me in Elvish.
Okay. Well, like I said, Megovanan, which you know translates to well met.
Okay. Thank you. Let's for the purpose of this podcast, actually speak in English.
Nope. I've invested way too much time into learning Sindarin.
But like,
I love my players.
I beg you to not do that. I really don't. Well met. How are you today, this wonderful day, sir?
Money and a thune.
Jesus Christ.
I'm going to hang up on you, Scott. But literally, the next time you do that, I'm removing you from the Skype call.
I love it. Take inspiration, Scott.
Thank you.
Oh, I want you to have inspiration.
I'm being outvoted.
He spent a shit ton of time learning this, okay? He deserves fucking inspiration. He deserves inspiration.
But we can't talk to him.
Well,
make sure to understand. You know that I just asked you what your name is.
No, I don't know that.
Make sure to mark that down, Scott.
I did.
So what's your name?
No one asked me that.
Yes, I did. In Elvish. Would you like me to ask you again?
He did. And you understood it.
This frustration, by the way, not a joke. Okay. My name is Utax. And you, fine, sir?
Are you really going to hang up on me?
Come on.
We'll find out.
Just speak like it's a translation in a movie.
Yeah, poor Kyle is so sick. You're going to fuck with him.
We'll find out, won't we?
Anun Gilong Iadin.
What the fuck does that mean?
Oh, he can't answer that. He's not on the call anymore.
Did you really fucking hang up on him?
Did you really boot him?
Yes, I really did. I'm going to let him sit and think about it for a second, and then I'm going to call him back. But I'm going to let him sit and think about it.
So we're going to... So...
Oh, my God.
Thank you for calling me back, Kyle.
Listen, I got outvoted into moving, but I can still hang up.
But let's speak like this is Common. That's fucking incredible that you've done that. It's fucking awesome.
It's so frustrating to have a conversation.
So you guys are now speaking to each other in a language that you guys understand. So,
thank you.
You will have many an opportunity to speak in Sildarn, I promise you.
Christ.
My name is Anun Gilon.
Well met, fine sir. Are you looking for service?
No, I was looking to see if anything was living in this cave.
Well, you found me, and I am here for service.
All right, well, if you are living here, I shall move on and make camp elsewhere.
Would you like to stay? We have room. You may come.
What's the weather look like outside? Sean, like, is it like overcast? Like, should I probably like find a nice cave to?
It's not great. It's fairly cold. The weather is clear, but it's kind of cold outside. Best not to stay without cover tonight.
The weather looks like it may turn. I shall take your offer.
It's awfully warm in here.
Thank you.
We don't have food. I assume you eat.
Yes. Do you not?
We do not here, but you're welcome to.
Is there more of you?
No, just me.
Where did you come from?
Here. I've been here my entire existence.
In this cave?
In this very cave. It's beautiful, is it not? I'd argue it's the most beautiful cave I've ever seen.
Sean, can I get confirmation about the beauty of the cave?
Yeah, it's you hear water rushing from below. It's not as wet as most of the caves you've been in, and a lot of it looks like it's rot, not from natural means, but it's actually, as you get further in there, it's been properly manicured, taken care of.
It's not like a building,
but it's definitely like taken care of.
Did you build this?
It does seem like far off. In the distance, there may have been another section of the cave that is collapsed. So, other than that,
But yeah, it's naturally hewn, but like if there's moss in this cave, it's been tended to.
Yeah.
If there is like a place where people would step, like it's been tended to. You know, like it's this robot is obviously taking care of the natural environment of the cave to keep it nice.
But it's not like it hasn't been like carved and like there's like masonry and like stuff like that.
No. It's not built out. It's actually just a cave.
That was my question. It sounded like it was built out.
Yeah, no. Like you would actually be fairly surprised at how thriving this cave is. Am I right on that, Utak?
Yeah, you would see that there over the years, like some small amounts of like furniture have made their way in, but it is literally just like furniture that is inside of a cave. So there are a couple chairs, and there's actually a small desk with some little tchotchke type things on it. Not a reference, but
there is tchotchke paraphernalia in here.
No. It's not tchotchke's branded materials. It is just the literal word tchotchke.
So it's knockoff. Okay.
No. That's why I said not a reference.
Okay. But yes, it looks fairly naturally wrought with just some random human things thrown in there. But you've seen civilization. This doesn't look like normal civilization.
Well, yeah, it looks like a robot living in a cave.
Like, there's a couch in a place that... Yeah, there's like a couch in there, but like it's facing the wall. Like it's not in a normal place that a couch would be. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Am I wrong?
Use couches.
Yeah, he doesn't use couches, but he felt like it should be there. So
I walk up to the couch and I poke it, and then I look at the robot.
It won't bite.
Why do you have furniture in a cave?
Oh well, we thought it would be best, in case anyone wanted to visit.
Is it only you here?
Yes, just me.
You keep saying we.
Do I now?
Yes.
Oh, ha. It doesn't mean anything.
Can I make...
Just me.
I'd like to make a perception check.
I'd like to make a deception check.
No, a perception check. I got an 18. Do I see anybody else in this cave?
Oh.
Does he see anybody else in the cave?
Oh, no, there's definitely no one else in this cave.
Okay. Well,
like there's specific evidence that no one else has been in this cave.
My former master died. And besides that, no one else has literally ever been in this cave.
Yeah. So there's barely any footfalls in here. It's so meticulous that he's been taking the same footsteps every day that it's trodden on those one spots. Everything else is kind of overgrown with weird moss and lichen.
Did he say that there's no footballs in here?
Footfall.
He did. I don't get it either.
So, like, if someone was to be walking around haphazardly, like, moss would be squished. But you're robotic, right? And so you have, like, the same routine every day. So, like, the robotic footprints are in a very specific pattern, but nothing else is disturbed. Footfall.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I look wary of the robot who keeps saying we, but there's nobody else here.
Okay.
Do you have like a fire or something, Kyle?
I could set a fire.
Oh, I wasn't asking you that.
Do you need one?
Character, that's why I said Kyle.
No.
Is there
I'm a robot? I don't feel I'm not really worried about it. I mean, kind of.
Sean, I got I did a survival check because I wanted to inspect the lichen growing in this cave. Is it edible?
Yeah, absolutely. This is well tended. Like it's night. This isn't like your average cave where there could be poisonous stuff among it. Like this is actually a very accommodating cave, better than you've seen. Like this looks like it was almost taken care of by a fake
creature. Sean, you're a very accommodating cave,
right? No, it's just it's naturally grown. It's the perfect environment. Everything seems perfect in here. You would almost expect to find this cave in the Feywild, is how perfect it is. Just with some random knickknacks here and there.
So, yeah, I look at the lichen and I turn to the robot and I say, you tend to your crops well.
Oh, thank you, sir. I take great pride.
And I guess I walk back over to the couch and I sit down, like, really uncomfortably.
Is there anything I can do for you? Do you need your weapons polished?
I have no weapons.
Sharpened? Anything shined? I don't know. What can I do to help, sir? So you basically are laying on a couch, and there is a robot butler standing to your side, like, waiting to do anything for you.
Yeah, but you would recognize, Scott, that this cave is not, like, it's natural, but, like, this creature has taken great care of nature in this cave. Like, to the point where nothing is disturbed.
Yeah, no, I got that.
But it's almost better by that, so you see him competent.
Yeah, no, I get that. But there's nothing that I need from him. So I don't have any weapons for him to polish or to shine, and I don't have any, like, jewels or anything for him to shine.
Yeah, no, so you sit down on this couch, and you kind of lay back for a second, and we're gonna cut... Oh.
No, I'm not laying back. I'm sitting on it super uncomfortably.
Okay, so you're sitting super uncomfortably, and as you do so, we're gonna cut to...
I'm sort of just standing facing.
Yeah.
We're gonna cut to the tourney grounds. Scrag, can you describe yourself?
Yeah, so Scrag's about, what did I say, like 6'2", 6'3", something like that, I think. 6'6", sorry.
Okay.
He's got, human-colored skin. Doesn't look particularly orc-like. He just has the underbite with the small protruding tusks there.
But still with burly muscles.
Yeah.
Like, definitely non-human.
Yeah.
Okay. So you are standing in front of a mummer show where there is a particularly purple-haired tiefling playing a song as the play comes to an end, and she's about to walk off.
All right. Well, I wait for her to walk off, and then I approach her.
Okay. So, Stephanie, will you describe your character?
Yeah. So, I am about 5'6". Medium build, all black clothing except for my vest, which is silver, and purple cloak. I'm proficient at the lute. Purple hair, ram-like horns, and very, like, pale, almost translucent skin. Is that enough?
Okay, so, yeah, so you're packing up your loot at this point when a half-orc approaches.
Yes.
Okay.
Excuse me. Do you have a moment?
Maybe.
Well, I was wondering if you could do a favor for me.
What kind of favor?
Well, I really wanted to place a bet on this fight that's coming up. And unfortunately, I really need to be somewhere. I don't have time to stand in line. If you wouldn't mind placing the bet for me, I would, you know, I wouldn't mind splitting it with you.
A full split?
Assuming I won, of course. Then... Well, maybe not a full split, but like 30-70?
I don't know.
You could give me an insight check if you'd like, whether he's being on par or not with you.
To see if he's lying to me?
Yeah.
I will make a deception check.
An 8. Yeah, you're fairly certain he's okay. On the level. And this seems like a good deal. You've been doing your shows all day, and so you haven't gotten a chance to watch any of the tourney.
Yeah, a fight would be really fun to see.
So this guy is basically giving you free money, and it seems pretty legit.
Now, is he in disguise? Yes?
Are you in disguise?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think your character's smart enough to really be in disguise.
Yeah, he doesn't really think he needs a disguise at this point, anyway.
But, yeah, he deceived you pretty good. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So, how much money are we talking?
I gotta figure out how much money I have.
So, I'm gonna say that you're able to make a bet of 200 gold pieces.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with that. The person that you need to make the bet to is named Chris Wade.
Okay.
So, relay that information.
So I have, 200 gold. I want you to place it on, what the heck is his name? Chaldeus.
200 gold. 200 gold.
Yeah.
That's more than I've seen in my entire life.
Which is a lot of money. That's a lot of money, yeah.
I have never seen.
That's a lot of money.
Yep, you got yourself a deal, sir. Who do I need to place a belt with?
Great. His name's Chris Wade.
Where is he?
And I point in the direction that this guy is.
So, Ben, what does Chris Wade look like?
So Chris Wade is a human with a black beard and black hair. He's slightly overweight.
So you direct her and she trots off to this Chris Wade.
Wait, hold on. We need to shake on this deal. So 40%, 40-60 split?
Yeah.
Yes!
And he shakes your hand.
Denias is overexcited, too much to actually be deceiving, but she takes it and trots off in the direction of a red and white pavilion that seems very lavish in front. There's a couple thuggish guards out front, and they stop you, Denias, and they say,
"Oh, why are you coming here?"
"I am here."
"This is the wrong place for a pretty little tiefling like you."
"I need to place a bet."
"Who do you have business with?"
"Who do I need to have business with? I just need to make a bet."
"Well, you came to the right place, but you don't got a name."
"What are my options?"
"Your options are to walk away or tell us who you have business with."
"Ben, what's your name? I forgot." "No."
No. You're here to make a bet with Chris Wade.
"Oh, who I'm trying to make. I'm sorry. I missed what you were saying. I need to talk to Chris Wade."
And they kind of look you up and down, say, "A little flighty, but if you're willing to make a bet, your coin's good here if we can see it before you go in."
"Here it is." And I open the pouch just a little bit and let him see it. And then I tuck it away really quick.
Okay. And they say, "Well then, your business is good here." And they open the curtain. And you walk through and you see a stout human sitting behind a table talking with a goblin and says, No, this won't do. We've already lost so much money on the tournament today. Unacceptable. Cook the books and come back to me." And these goblins go trotting off, and a human looks over and says, "Well, what brings you here, m'lady?"
"I am here to talk to Mr. Wade and place a bet."
"Well, I am Mr. Wade, and if you're going to place a bet, there's no safer place to place it than here."
"Perfect.
Who are you looking to place this bet on? We've had a lot of bets over the past few days, but it seems that Caldeus Argonaut and this Scrag character are battling it off in the tourney tomorrow. The odds are 3-1 that Caldeus will win."
"Then I would like to place 200 gold on Caldeus."
"May I see the coin?"
"Yes." And I throw the bag of coins on the counter. Or on the table.
And he looks at them, he starts stacking them very, like, well. He stacks them all together, almost like poker chips. He's like, "Okay," and he pulls out a ledger, writes the bet down, and he says, "In your name?"
"Denias."
"Denias. Well, best of luck to you." And he takes a note in his ledger, pulls off, like, part of a piece of paper, and hands it to you with his signature on it.
Okay.
And he says, "Good luck tomorrow with the tourney."
So I take my note, and I walk out, and I go to watch the fights.
Okay. It's actually nighttime at this point, so you would probably find your way back to your tent. Where are you staying tonight?
With my group of gnomes.
Okay. So you make your way back to the caravan, and it's, you know, drinking and revelry as usual. You have your time. They ask you to pick up the loot. You probably play a little bit. And at this point, we're going to cut back to Utak and Enugilon.
Nothing has changed. I remain fixed in my location.
Where it's fairly quiet. Anun Gilon is sitting on the edge of this couch. What are you doing? Are you staying here or are you...
I think that when we cut back over, it's nighttime. Just like where we had just left Denias. And Anun Gilon has built a fire in the middle of the cave. And he is attempting to like roast a like a rabbit that he caught. While Utax is probably trying to horn in and cook it for him.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I would have also, the moment you would have started to try and light a fire, I would have tried to, like, hush over and, like, start to gather things and set the fire for you and do all of that.
Yeah.
And, like, if you caught a rabbit, I would be like, okay, and I start skinning it and doing all of the work, and immediately. I am a servant.
But what you notice about Utax is that, like, Utax is a servant, but he's very careful with every action that he does not to disturb. Like, I don't know whether I'm forcing it, but you're a very efficient being, Utax, right?
Yeah, I have OCD. I'm an OCD bot.
You don't want to cause any sort of disruption. So even though he's an unnatural creature, he's making every effort not to disturb the natural environment in this cave in doing so. And he's actually surprising you quite a bit with like his adeptness at doing so.
Yeah, and like I've like, you know, you caught a rabbit and I'm clearly adept and skilled at like skinning and preparing a rabbit and doing all of that work. But, you know, you just don't really know why a robot would be.
Yeah.
Well, like you even have like a pre-programmed message that's like, you know, giving respect to the animal as you're skinning it, which is like, thank you for your gift.
I'm not like a museum tour robot.
Yeah.
I'm a servant. A servant doesn't talk while he serves.
But, okay. But yeah, but still, it's very efficient and yes. Very well done. There is no piece of meat that was left behind, and the skin was carefully tended and hung for future use.
Yeah. So I think it's, yeah, just a comical montage of Anangelon trying to prepare his own supper and Utax constantly taking over and doing it while Isla Khan like frustrated that he won't let me do anything.
So at this point,
and then when you're finally eating, it's just me standing there smiling, watching you eat.
Yeah,
that's what I was gonna say. You're just smiling and staring.
Yeah.
What happens at that point?
I don't know if anything would. I think I just uncomfortably eat my supper.
So the night proceeds. Utax tries to be like, I have a joke.
I set up like a bedroll and everything, based on the fact that it's nighttime. I like, you know, some out of somewhere I'm giving you like a sleep cap. Like all of a sudden like things are showing up. You're not even sure where they're coming from, but like you've got a glass of warm milk, you're not even sure how that's possible. And there's a mint on the bedroll. Like, it's every attention.
Utax, how do you feel about
that? I am thrilled. I have been in this cave for a very long time by myself, and I am thrilled to be doing something of use.
And Anangelon, how do you feel?
I'm super uncomfortable, but he allowed me to stay in his space, so I'm not going to be rude towards him. I'll just make the best of the situation and just kind of go through the motions, but I'm like super uncomfortable with the whole thing.
So eventually you find sleep.
Okay.
And your dreams are fairly normal.
That's good.
But at one point you see a weird vision of like a fiery ring burning the Feywild.
Okay.
And you sit up, like you're wakened from your slumber. And I'm guessing Utax, you're still staring.
Yeah. You're going to force me at some point to sleep. So I would be like in the exact same position as I was like.
But he's in low power mode.
He's just kind of tilted. My head is kind of like tilted down, basically.
Okay. So you wake up kind of in the middle of the night with this vision of a ring of fire burning the Feywild.
I think I do the, like, night terror thing, where I just sit bolt upright, like, screaming.
Okay. Utax, you're disturbed.
And before you know it, there's a damp towel on your forehead.
Okay.
Can I get something for you? Is there something wrong, sir?
Oh my god, I'm trying to figure out how I would react in this situation, because I knew where I was going up until the point where you put a damp towel on my head. I push your arm aside, oh, damn it, I don't want to get hung up on. So, I guess, in common.
You can say it.
Because Kyle's going to hang up on me if I speak any more Sindarin. So,
no, your first reaction would be to speak in Elvish, just say it and then translate it. Or Sildarin. So say it and then translate it.
So I sit up screaming, you put a damp towel on my head. I push your arm aside and I yell, Nara, which translates to run. And then I, like, bolt out of the cave, expecting the forest to be on fire around me.
I follow you, just assuming that you were right. I don't know.
And what do I see when I get outside the cave?
You come out of the cave, and you see an overcast night with some rainfall. Nothing on fire. If anything, it's more damp than ever.
All right, so I'm like standing in the rain,
but it's the forest of Irulan. It's not the forest of the Feywild.
Yeah, and I stand there in the rain looking like kind of confused, like I still don't really know where I am exactly. I'm like spinning around in a circle in front of the in between the cave and the like brook that's right there, and I like spin around and I like I'm slowly realizing where I am, and then I see Utax, who's followed me, and I look at him and I just say, my grove was destroyed by fire and must have just been a night terror.
Utax, he reaches his arm out and puts it on your shoulder, and I say, my former master was also destroyed by fire. It is a destroyer of many great things, but nothing here tonight.
I give Utax a look like, huh, that was kind of profound. Like, I am surprised that this creature and I have something in common. And I follow him back inside the cave.
The night after that, it takes you a bit to go back to sleep, but you're able to fall back asleep. And you're able to get a few hours before daybreak comes in. So as far as the night goes, Danias went to sleep with her troop. Caldeus, did you do anything profound last night?
Nothing really. It's just more of me attending to my armor and my weapons, making sure they're in tip-top shape, because I know there's not really... Is there kind of like a bar that I could like go around and asking information about the cultists?
Yeah, there's definitely a tavern there, but no one's interested in talking about cultists. Everybody's eager to like pat you on the shoulder because you've made your rounds to the end of the list.
Are they somewhat awed that they're mean a war mage?
Say that again?
Are they somewhat in awe that they met a war mage?
Yes and no. This is pretty far flung from the War Mage College. They're just more surprised at your battle prowess. They could give a fuck less if you're from the War Mage College or not. That may be something you see as prestige, but they just kind of want to see a tourney.
Ah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
They're like, some of them are like, well, maybe War Mages have a little more credit than we've given them, but you know what? He showed himself pretty well. Is there anything in particular that you want to try and accomplish in this tavern? You want to find out about cultists?
Right.
Okay, give me a perception check.
Not very good on these. Oh, I crit.
Crit. That's a crit. You notice someone skulking in the corner.
My eyes.
Two people in conversation.
It
looks fairly dark.
I skulk over to them.
Okay. You hear them say, Chris is on point for tomorrow, right? And the other guy says, yeah, we can trust him. He'll get it to who needs to get there. And they look up at you. Can I help you?
John, would I know who they're referring to? Like this Chris Wade or something like that?
It would be very far flung. You would have to give me some sort of, I don't know what even check you'd give me on that.
Right.
you don't know this person. Well, but you can try and give me a check if you'd like.
No, I'll just like, I'm hoping you can provide me some information today.
Information? What kind of information are you looking for? You're not going to find it here.
I'll give him like a pull from what's remained left of my gold and just like give him 5 gold. He's like, I'm looking for a certain people.
People? What kind of people?
Cultists.
They scoot their chairs out and they say, religion's not something we really like to talk about, fella. You have yourself a good night.
I instantly grab one of them by the neck of the shirt and, like, stop him from going.
Give me an attack roll on that. Like a grapple.
Like a strength check or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Athletics, if you have it, I think.
Yeah, athletics.
I do? Oh, shit.
He shirks your hand away and he says, our business is none of yours. Be about your way, fighter. And they leave the tavern.
I'm, like, somewhat perturbed because I'm pretty sure I feel like they know more than what they could give me the information I need, so.
Yeah. So something that all of you would know is that the prize for this tournament is a golden calf with a gem in its forehead, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You guys have appraised it at about 1,000 gold pieces. The gem is something weird you guys have never seen. It's just inset in there. But it's the prize for the winner of the tourney. So, Caldeus, are you pursuing?
Yes. Trying not to make it obvious or anything like that.
Okay. Give me a stealth check. You kind of creep out of the tavern. You follow him a little bit and you peek around a corner. And you see shadows kind of hear you and run off. into the alley.
I let off a curse and start running.
Okay. You hear some metal clanging, and when you turn the corner to go into the back part of the alley, nothing is there.
Can I do an investigation, maybe see, like, something was disturbed, maybe something was open?
Sure.
16.
Yep. The metal grating that goes into the sewers below seems to be ajar a bit.
Is there anything blocking it, or could I possibly move it?
You could definitely move it.
I, don't try to be...
Give me a strength check.
Damn. What is with my... I rolled a 4.
You try and pull it up. You can't lift it, though. But give me a perception check.
11.
You hear some voices down in the sewer that basically say, we gotta get that calf tomorrow. Chris needs us to get that calf. We're gonna get paid for it. And then they kind of just trail off into the distance.
That's a bit concerning because I need that money.
Right? But you don't hear anything else as they trail off from the sewer. And when the grating cranks down after you hear it, you kind of hear footsteps scattering, and then you don't hear anything else.
Well, I clearly can't catch up with them, so the only thing I can do is just keep an eye out for those two in the morning.
Okay. So do you go to sleep?
Yep.
Okay. So everybody goes to sleep, or as best as they can. Anguilon had a little bit of a restless night. Denias had a bit of a drunken night, drinking with the gnomes. Utax basically is Utax. And, Scrag went to bed peacefully, I'm guessing, knowing that he's going to win money no matter what tomorrow.
Yep.
The day breaks, and a horn sounds across this pavilion village that has sprung up on the outside of Caircane. And people start rousing. An impromptu tavern is sprung up. Some people are drinking, eating breakfast, discussing the morning events. And then a second horn call, and Caldeus and Scrag, you know it's your time to make your way to the...
All right.
Before I go to the arena, I give off a small prayer to the Raven Queen, for she is the main patron god to the War Mage College.
Okay, give me a religion check.
9. Man, I'm getting low rolls today.
You hear no response.
It's more of a personal comfort than anything else, so it doesn't matter.
No, yeah, it's a personal comfort to you, but you don't feel any different than normal.
It's time to throw out those dice, Matt, and get a new set.
No kidding.
Right?
I need to start using my easy roller dice.
Denias, you wake up kind of hungover.
That'll be all right.
The Mummer shows are canceled for today. There's nothing planned because the final day of the tournament is going on. What are you doing?
I am stumbling around trying to find food. I'm hungover.
Okay. Yeah, so there's actually a really greasy, nice tavern set up just outside of the tourney grounds. It's like it's small. Most of the combatants have pavilions set up elsewhere, but the main places where people want to sell stuff, i.e. the innkeeper or the leather worker, are near to the grounds where the tournament's happening. So you're kind of sitting in an inn and you're able to see the tourney grounds. Okay. Kind of nursing your hangover, having a little hair of the dog, I'm guessing, maybe a little ale.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. The morning dawns, Anne and Gilon, you hear the trumpet sound, then you know what that means. You see Anne and Gilon stir. Anne and Gilon, what are you doing?
I'm packing up my stuff, and gathering all my pack up, and I'm gonna, I guess, turn to Utax, and I just say, I need to go to town.
Well, let's go!
All right, you may follow, that is fine.
And, Utax, well, thank you very much. I appreciate you welcoming me into your party.
Wait.
Onward! And I continue to march out the cave.
Okay, and I have my normal face that I've had this entire interaction, which is quite concerned, and I follow him out the cave.
Kyle, all I picture your character as is BB-8 with the voice of Fallout 4.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mr. Handy from Fallout is absolutely an inspiration for this character.
Right. So you guys make your way into town, and as you do, flags are raised, and you make your way in through the crowds. Utax, people are looking at you a little weird, but you got a smile on your face. You feel fucking great today. You found a purpose.
Well, I'm also looking at people a little weird, so people are looking at me weird, but I've also never left the cave, so I'm also very interested in them.
Yeah.
So.
But you also feel pretty good because you have a purpose. Is there anything that you're saying to people as you go by?
Oh, I'm just saying, I'm greeting everyone. Good morning. Good morning.
Hello. And it's just kind of awkward.
How are you?
As you make your way through town, this is just continuous. Inugilon, is there anything you do as you're making your way to the tourney grounds to see Caldeus perform?
I'm just keeping my head low and making my way to the tourney grounds so that I can meet Caldeus, because that's what we agreed on.
Okay. Okay, so you guys make your way to the tourney grounds. You're able to make your way fairly close. There's a bunch of small folk around you, but you're able to see the tourney grounds. Denias, you're nursing a hangover from a raised pavilion, and you can see the tourney ground. And a herald comes out and says, Lady Eliana Strongbow and Cedric Dane, witness your champions on this day before your wedding. I bring before you Caldeus Argonaut of the War Mage College, and Scrag, and he looks over at you for, like, anything else?
Ragnall.
Like, raises his... Scrag Ragnall of...
I just blanked on the name of that city.
That of the Ragnalls. Let this be a glorious day of fighting, and let the battle commence in celebration of this great wedding of two great families. And he makes his way, he like skitters off around over the tourney fence, and a great horn blows. And I want you guys to roll initiative.
Sean, while they're doing that, do I recognize Scrag?
Give me a perception check. You're kind of hungover.
I'm aware.
Guys, my initiative is not terrible this season.
Yay!
I got a 20.
So let her get her perception check off.
I got a 6.
A 6, you're just kind of looking like, okay, and you go back to your drink.
Perfect.
Okay, so Scrag, what did you roll for your initiative?
I rolled a 20.
And Caldeus, what'd you roll?
I rolled a 10.
So in this turning ground, there's been a lot of like horse stuff, but there's a huge stone in the center of it that you have to contend with. But it's fairly like wet earth, almost like a wet sand. And you guys can kind of make each other out across the turning grounds. What are you doing? So Scrag is first to act.
All right. So Scrag runs up to this rock in the center. That's about as far as he can get, and pulls out his short sword and a dagger, and goes into a defensive stance, awaiting the charge from Caldeus.
Caldeus, what are you doing?
I'm going to put myself into better position here, to here, and...
Okay. So you're just below him where you can see him on the other side of the rock.
I raise my left hand, and I cast Firebolt. Does a 19 hit?
Because I took the dodge action there, you have disadvantage.
Oh, 9 then. Miss.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that your turn?
It is.
The crowd is cheering at this point. A firebolt goes off and it burns the palisade behind Scrag as Scrag rebuffs the thing and then looks at Caldeus. And what does he do?
Scrag roars in rage. As he charges Caldeus. And attempts to stab him with his short sword and uses rage, if that wasn't clear.
I'm guessing you guys are going for non-lethal damage, just kind of trying to down the other opponent. Okay. This is a tourney after all. No one wants to die on a wedding day.
Okay, so that's actually 12 damage.
Unless
I was
going to
say, it's going to be a really boring wedding.
How much health do you have?
This is embarrassing. 10.
A firebolt goes off as Scrag runs up and just... What happens, Scrag?
So I think Scrag just, like, runs up at him. Like, you know, he just dodged the fireball. And Caldeus hasn't had a chance to, you know, react to my dodge. And I just get right up underneath his defenses and just basically I have my short sword in my hand and I just basically just punch him in the face with that hand.
And he goes down and you put a sword at his neck. And are you yielding, I'm guessing, Caldeus? We're going to call that a yield.
Yeah, it's like I just
like
have
you're beaten.
I just have like this really disgruntled look. And
so an uproar goes up from the crowd and two horn blasts sound as a man stands up and he says,
Sean?
Well, yes.
While this is going on, I kind of like whisper and try to get loud enough to Scrag, and it's like, you better keep an eye on that statue. Somebody's thinking of taking it.
And as you're saying that, you hear that, Scrag, so you kind of are taken aback a little bit. As a man stands up and he says, this has been a wonderful tourney, a great celebration of my daughter's wedding to the Danes. Please, great hero, come forward and take your... And he looks over and he's like, the calf, where's the calf? And a guy gives him like an unsure look and he says, the calf has been stolen! And I think that's where we'll end this episode.
I think Scrag just noticing it's gone, he's like, oh, I should have lost.
I know, and right? Denias is so, screaming and wailing that she has no money and orders another beer. Yeah.
Right?
Upon seeing Caldeas go down, I look over at UTAX and I say, it's going to be a very long, or it's going to be another tough winter.
I don't know what any of this means.
And I just have a confused look from Scrag.
Yeah, we'll pick up next week, guys, and see what happened to this golden calf. So anyway, you can find us at our website at tabletopchampions.com or on Twitter at tabletopchamps. I'm at Sean the DM.
I'm at Fung.
I'm at Elanond RPG.
I'm at The Void Man. The O is a zero.
RP_GGamer.
I'm at Nat20Stuff.
So I'm excited to see what happens the rest of the season, but until then, toodles.
Bye.
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 Toodles.